Yeah.
Check it out.
See, the only thing you need to do right here is snarl your freaking head.
Yeah, boy, it's August 3rd, and it's episode 187. This is the Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast. The Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast, the official podcast, thefantasyfootballauction.com, the internet's only website dedicated to fantasy football auctions. We got a great show for you tonight. Tonight, we're going to talk some auction strategy. I'm thinking in-room strategy, nominations, bidding. We might even get into some etiquette. So I think we've got an action-packed podcast for you tonight. But of course, hold on a second. Let me pump the brakes there. Only one of our analysts are here tonight. He's back. His back is sore from running the tractor the last few days. Hey, Blister, you know what you can get from a tractor seat, don't you?
Unfortunately, I didn't have a partner. I got gonorrhea from a tractor.
You got gonorrhea from a tractor? And you call that the tractor story?
You can't get it from that.
But I did. My boyfriend said I got gonorrhea from riding the tractor in my bathing suit.
We got two words for ya!
Well, according to Seinfeld, I do. But, it is sore. I'm old. I'm getting too old for that. I thought I'd help my sister out on her farm for a bit, and it's been a lot. Took me all summer just about to get there, but we got all the haying done, so that's done now, and can hopefully enjoy some summer. But it's so friggin' hot out right now up here that I don't know if I want to leave the air conditioning for a while. Well, let's go.
All right, so let's get let's get going into some stuff. Just a reminder, everybody, send in your mock draft and your actual draft numbers into auctionmockdraft@gmail.com. It's in the show notes on the website too. You can just click the link. If you send in your results, we'll enter your name in for a free membership for an auctioneer level membership on the website. That gets you all the articles, all the premium podcasts, all the spreadsheets, gets you the direct email that gives you, direct access to us to get questions answered, all those things. So send in your mock draft and your auction draft results to auctionmockdraft@gmail.com. We'll draw a name each week for someone to win a free membership. Last week's winner was Nick. This week, we haven't done the draw yet. We'll get things tabulated later on today and, send the email out to the winner. Maybe even tweet the email or tweet the winner's name as well, off of the @FantasyAuction handle. All right. So that's enough of, that stuff. Blister, if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's cock the hammer. It's time for action. So like I said, we got a great show for you tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about some auction room strategies. We're looking at nominations, biddings, etiquette, anything else that might come up. Blister, I was going to talk a little bit of news, but there really isn't so much in the way of news. The only real thing I saw was that Michael Thomas got paid. Any response to that?
Yeah. We kind of talked about that last pod, and we thought that he would because he's a big part of that offense, and he got what he deserved. He's a hell of a receiver, and he should be contend for number one overall wide receiver this year. So I think the man got what he deserved. So that's good to see. One less headache and one less question mark out of the way.
Yeah, there's
a couple other small tidbits of news, like one I was just noticing too: Theo Riddick signing with the Broncos.
Yeah,
that's interesting because not that I think Theo's gonna be the man there or anything. It's just that I think he is a potential pass catcher that could steal some pass catching from both Royce Freeman or Philip Lindsay. So it kind of muddies the waters even more. Everyone's kind of expecting Freeman to bounce, or not bounce back, but to take on a bigger role this year. And Lindsay, being the man that came out of nowhere last year, kind of to fade a bit into the sunset, which I think will happen too. I was expecting maybe a split more so, but now with Riddick there, he might just take four or five or six grabs or looks away from them or whatever, which does then obviously affect their value. So if you're shopping for a running back, I might avoid that situation altogether unless you can get him for a steal at the end of your draft.
Well, and that's where I'm thinking this probably hurts Philip Lindsay more so than it does Royce Freeman, right? So
Probably, eh?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
I mean, but it's still, it's a pretty muddy area there, and they're going to be a negative game script all year because they're très terrible, and that was French for you folks out there. Really, really, really great French. Yeah,
This is a sophisticated podcast.
Oh, yeah, all of a sudden, real.
Bilingual.
That's for our, for G-Money out in Da Gaspé right now.
Da Gaspé. Yeah, he sent some nice pictures on Twitter there.
Yeah, he sure did. Anyways, okay, Blister, so let's get into some, let's get into some auction room strategy. So I've seen some articles out and about, and I just posted an article, the top five auction Google searches, and a lot of the articles that come up in the top five, not including ours, of course, they have some things around strategies, in particular nomination strategies. They don't get into a lot of depth, but there is some talk that, you know, nominations are important, which is good. I'm happy that people are starting to realize that you just don't nominate down the top 100 list and go from there, that nominations are actually important in your auction draft. In particular, I find in the live draft, I mean, everything's more important in the live draft because it's eye contact, it's body language, it's all those things too, right? But, Blister, in the early rounds of your auctions, what are some of your nomination strategies? What are you looking to do with your nominations?
Well, my number one goal in early rounds especially is to get money spent. Money spent on guys I have no interest in because obviously, money controls everything, right? Money is the base of your auction. I mean, when you got a pocket full of money, you're in the driver's seat. You can pick up who you want, and you can get the guys you want. But you want to see other guys spend their money so that their options become minimized. And a couple guys will come out of the gate firing, and they'll grab two very expensive players right off the bat, and then they're going to go into hiding for an hour or two. They might not be able to bid on anybody. They might want to start restructuring their budget. They might have went over what they planned on, you know, at the beginning too. Some guys are excited to be there. They want to be involved. They have waited all year for this kind of thing. So they're going to throw up money. You know, we toyed with an idea. Well, we used to, I mean, it was strategies change as things change, but we used to say, well, throw out your kicker and your defense early.
Right.
If somebody spends $2 on them, then they wasted their money. But $2, that doesn't make anybody panic. And they should, you know, you don't need to spend $2 on a kicker or on a defense.
Or $9.
Yeah, everybody was all hungry for or nine. That's right. never do that and don't get a backup kicker for another seven. That's crazy talk. But I can't believe that. Anyways, last year, a good example was Jacksonville. I mean, they were such a strong defense 2 years ago, so everyone wanted to have Jacksonville. I mean, years before that, it was Seattle. And, you know, people go out there, they'll spend $2, $3. You'll see sometimes they go up to $6, $7 on a defense. And what happened? Jacksonville wasn't very good last year as far as fantasy production goes. They weren't at the top. So, you know, it's a waste. And so don't do that because you're not getting a lot of money spent. As soon as people spend a pile of money, they start to not really, you could say panic in a sense, because they think, oh my God, I just spent $130. I got two players and I got to get 16 more players for $70. Now what am I going to do? And that might have not been their strategy going in, or even if it was, it does make them think, oh, look at all these guys out here. So it's a good idea to get money spent on guys you have no interest in. Like right now, you know, a guy like Melvin Gordon, I don't want Melvin Gordon, or maybe probably even Zeke for that matter. So, you know, they're going to still bring down a pretty penny. And someone's going to think, well, if I even get him for $50, $50 is cheap compared to what they probably would go for, like 60, 65, 70 maybe. And it is a good deal, but it's not a good deal if they don't play.
Right.
It's not a good deal if they're missing games. So when you spend $50, 25% of your budget, it's gone. And you know, if those guys aren't on the field for you, then that's going to hurt. So get guys out there that you're not interested in. Maybe there's an older running backs, like when you get down to other tiers, like if LeSean McCoy is named a starter in Buffalo, but you think, no, he's too old, there's too much competition, get him out there. It really benefits you to have your running backs in tiers. And, you know, like you said, we've got a lot of auction strategies articles on our website. Some of them are older, but some of them are still very applicable. Like when we talk about the auction you and talk about nomination and bidding strategies, it's always good to read them over. And then, you know, if there's names names in there from last year, 5 years ago, or whatever, you can, you know, you can insert the names that would fit there today. Like, if Adrian Peterson was the stud 5 years ago or something, take Adrian Peterson's name out and put Saquon in there, whatever the case may be, because there's a lot of different things that happen early on. Predominantly, a lot of running backs will get nominated, and then the wide receivers will kind of go, and then someone's going to throw out a defense or a kicker and just let them go. I mean, most of the time, I wouldn't throw out a kicker or a defense, A, because you don't want, you want them to spend more money, and B, if it's a defense that you want, you know, early on when people have a pocket full of money, I'll go $2, I'll go $3. Well, you know what, later on you might have been able to throw that defense out, say the Chargers or something, and it's a dollar, and people are like, I can't go more than a dollar because I got to still get a tight end, and a, you know what I mean? So the it's really important to have a plan, and but I think it's the most important thing, number one, is get people's money spent as quickly as you can and as much as you possibly can. And so you got to throw out the players that are going to pull down big bucks.
Okay, so now what about this now? Because like I say, I think you, well, you were saying actually that things change over time, right? So we used to say throw out your kicker and your defense, and now that's kind of old school. Now we're saying throw out guys that you don't want, right? I'm starting to shift into that idea in the early rounds of maybe trying to get mid-tier guys that I do want, because guys are like, I'm going to wait for the, I'm going to wait for the big guy. And I'm not saying low name guys, but I'm saying, like, let's say it's a Aaron Jones or a Marlon Mack as a running back, let's say, or if we go down to, you know, a Kenny Golladay or Tyler Lockett, like, you might be able to sneak a couple of, you might be able to, let's say, like, right now, Lockett, for instance, going for $18, maybe you get him for 14 or 15 because it's early and guys like, I don't want him. I want Beckham. I want Thomas. Yeah. I want Devontae Adams. So sometimes in those early rounds, that's some of my thought process too, is like, you know, guys might think I don't want them, and then they're just going to sleep on it during that, and I might sneak a deal out.
Absolutely. That's a great strategy, because just like you said, you throw a guy out there that could be your running back two or your wide receiver two or three potentially even. And if you got him as your three, you'd be thrilled, right?
Right.
But you throw them out there and all those other big names are out there. Like, I'm not going to waste $18 now. I might need to put that towards Devontae Adams later. So no, you know, I'm not bidding up on this guy anymore. And there's all these other guys out there. No, I think that'd be a great way to, especially with the wide receivers, with the running backs too, like that whole class of Kerryon, Aaron Jones, Leonard Fournette,
Yeah, that's the tier I'm thinking too.
Marlon Mack, that tier there. I think, again, because people, they're going to think, like, I think, you know, if they're going to go, they might go for 30, 35 later on. You might get them for 23, 25, and that's a huge savings. And you're still getting the guy you kind of want. So, yeah, and again, it all comes down to where you sit at the table, right? Because if you're if you're in the top half of that nomination order, then you have a better chance of getting somebody out there versus, say, you're 12th and already 10 running backs have been nominated, then you nominate Kerryon Johnson. Well, all of a sudden, now it's probably not as good of an idea, because if there's 10 running backs off the board, probably all higher ranked than Kerryon, somebody's thinking, well, shit, I need to get him as my RB1 now, and I can't let him go, so I got to, you know. So it all depends on who's been nominated ahead of you and what positions have been kind of picked apart a little bit each time that you come up. So yeah, if there's a wealth of players at that tier, that level, whether it's receiver or running back, then I think it's probably a pretty solid strategy, because people are going, no, I'll save. I still need an RB1, and there's tons of wide receiver twos out there, so I won't go as high on this guy.
And in that top, let's say, you know, four or five rounds in your auction draft, I like to spread the wealth too. Like, if we haven't seen a tight end, I like to throw a tight end out there. Like, I'm probably not going to spend big on it anyways, but I'm not going to throw out Kelsey or Kittle, because we know it's going to go for a mint. But maybe I'm throwing out a Vance McDonald and just trying to test the waters, trying to set that price point in the tiers. So then I kind of I've gauged in those first four or five rounds what guys are willing to spend at different positions. I mean, obviously it changes throughout the draft, but at least I've got an initial idea of where we're at. So I like to have tiers, my tiers, and kind of know where the what the feel of the room is at that time, because every day it's a different feel for the room, right? So that's sometimes some of the things I like to do too.
Yeah, it always changes, that's for sure. And you never know what, like, there's, I think about our one big auction that we got coming up in a couple weeks, and You know, guys are sitting there strategizing and making a plan, and they're all thinking about trying to, you know, they don't want to be obvious. I think of a couple guys that think, oh no, they're going to know I want this guy, and they're going to try to play it off, or you got another guy that's going to load up on one position when nobody's going to understand why. You know, right. Just there's different things that happen. I wonder who's going to take your place then in that one, Ben.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, got to be a parent, unfortunately.
That's sad.
Got 100 other drafts, but the big one that matters, I got to tap out this year. And that's right. Yeah. Kerry Lynn's like, oh, well, you can always do it next year. I said, no, it's hard to get back.
Yeah. Well, so everyone getting busy with life. I think they'll probably be opening every year. There'll probably be some openings.
Might be some
openings.
I was
close for not making it, but I said, I've seen enough Kyle shows.
So. I was also going to say, Blister, in those early rounds too, and I read this in an article as I was doing that one that I posted yesterday, and I thought this was an interesting strategy, was bid on everybody in those early rounds and bid to about what the article said was about 60% of what you think the value is going to be. So you might get lucky. You know what I mean? Like, be involved early in pretty much every player because, You might get lucky on one. You might get a hit on one, like we say, if it's Kerryon Johnson early or something like that. But then I also kind of like in my bidding strategy, especially early, to be in on everybody. Then that way I'm not tipping my hat either.
Yeah, yeah. And that's true. I mean, typically some people think, oh, well, he's been bowing out at the same point every time, right? And he's just going to bid up to a certain point, and that once it hits that $30 mark, he's gone, or the $40 mark, he'll be gone. And then you go over, and then all of a sudden they're like,
maybe he's interested in Aaron Rodgers this year or whatever. Yeah.
You got to always vary your bidding and your nominations and things like that, in the sense that you sometimes don't jump in right away. Sometimes you jump in always from the beginning. Sometimes you jump it up from $1 to $20 right off the hop, and just, you know, just different things all the time is kind of good, because then it's hard to predict what's going to happen. If you only bid on the guys you want, then that becomes kind of obvious too, and guys can kind of run the table up on them a little bit. So it's always good to have a few different strategies and see who's paying attention. And, you know, auction drafts are long and they take a while, which just why they're kind of fun.
Yeah.
But people will get up and wander around and go for a beer and pee breaks and this and that. And so obviously they're not as in tune. And all of a sudden when they're sitting there with their paper and pencil in hand, you know, they're a little more focused. You can tell that this is somebody probably that they had planned on getting. So, yeah, that's most of the fun. Like you said, looking around the room, seeing the faces, seeing the, you know, what's going on in their mind, trying to predict what they think that they're going to do, and trying to be a step ahead. That's the fun right there.
Well, and I think that's most important in those first 3-4 rounds, right? Because that's when everyone's kind of jockeying position, the big money's being spent, and so strategies I mean are dictated in those first few rounds typically. And also too, that's when you need to be flexible, right? That's the idea where you got plan B and C ready to roll. Like, you weren't expecting to actually get Zeke for, you know, $32. You weren't expecting that. All of a sudden you do. Yeah. Now what are you going to do, right? Where are you going? Mm-hmm. How are you playing it? What's your strategy going to look like? But making it look like you had a plan the whole time. Yeah. That's the other part too.
Yeah. And that's kind of, I did an article the other day. I think you put it out, did you? About how to win your auction.
Yeah,
and that is
I did.
Being, you know, when I was thinking about it, I wanted to do it more of a visual chart, but I ended up just typing it all out because, again, pressed for time. But every time you do get somebody like that, say you got Zeke for 32, okay, well, he's going to be my RB1. I budgeted $60. Where do I put this other 28 now? And then you got to reallocating your money just so you know exactly what you have. You take that amount of money, you say, okay, at my wide receiver one, I planned on spending 30. Now I have 28 extra dollars. I could go up to 50, 55. Who's in play? Everybody's in play now, probably, right? But you look at your tiers. You look at your tiers and say, okay, out of these tiers, I would like this guy. And again, okay, it's round 4 or whatever. I'm going to be nominating soon, and there's 16 guys between my tiers 3 and 4. So I might nominate one early on that I might like, and realize that hopefully I don't have to spend all $58, but maybe I'll have to, you know, I'll be able to go up a little bit higher and get the guy I want. So you have to kind of always be crunching those numbers and make sure you're accurate too, because you don't want to make mistakes later and not have enough money or spend too much.
Yeah, been there. Yeah. been there and actually in the John Bosch draft, we just had that too. And, but he has an out. Like, you could still make trades within the draft. And then if you trade somebody for that dollar value, then you get that dollar value back. I don't know. It's a weird, weird setup, but we're still drafting. We're on the $1 guys now. So this is where it gets pretty tricky because you can only nominate two players a day.
Oh, yeah.
So I got on just before the podcast, well, this morning, right, and nominated a couple of guys. My team is it's tricky doing the email ones, but it's been kind of fun, too. I need to get into it a little bit more because I think that that's valuable content for the website. But anyways, so Blister, moving then, like you're saying now, maybe into those more of those middle rounds, having the paper and pencil or if spreadsheet, whichever way you're doing it, right? Like I like to have a blank piece of paper beside me or on my tier sheet, like my cheat sheet, I have space allocated on there for crunching numbers. Yeah. And I go, okay, so, you know, I plan and I do it a little bit different than you guys. You guys, go, this is my RB1, this is my RB2, and you have budgets for that. And I just kind of say RBs and I'd like to get in these tiers. Yeah. But anyways, I'm always crunching the numbers. Okay, so I said I was going to get $70 in running backs, but looks like I'm going to be able to get what I wanted for 58. So now I've got extra money. I'm going to allocate that over here. Who's available over there? Oh, shoot. Quarterback isn't going to be where I'm going to allocate it because there's no one worth that kind of money there. Let's push it over to wide receiver and jump up and get the next guy. So that's important in the middle rounds. And I think the middle rounds is really where the auction draft is won, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think that's when you can probably find your best opportunity to get a good deal, perhaps, because some people might have spent a lot of money, and now they're holding on and waiting for some bargains later in the draft, and they're maybe a little more timid. Other guys could be sitting on a pile of money, and they have a hard time spending, you know, X number of dollars on a player because they don't think, you know, a $25 guy, they can't spend more because they don't think he's worth more, you know. And what happens is they keep saving their money, but eventually there's nobody worth $25 left, and they could spend that on all their players, kind of thing.
Right.
I think in the middle rounds, that's when you could pounce on some great. You could fill up a big part of your roster in the middle rounds with some quality starters and some quality bench guys if you want.
Well, and I think that's where you get the exposure to the auction you as well. So we've talked about this quite a bit. And we were exposed to this years ago when we had J.J. Zacharyson on the show, and he talked about tiers and the horseshoe. And especially in an auction, that's where you really see it. So the idea is this, that in your tier, let's say you have, I don't know, five or six guys or eight guys or whatever it is in your tier, the first couple guys that are nominated in that tier tend to go for at value or a little bit higher because they're the first guys. Guys are excited about people in that tier. The back two guys tend to go for a little bit more because, like, oh, crap, I'm running out of guys in this tier. So they tend to go for at value or higher as well. It's the sweet spots in the middle. And that doesn't necessarily mean the middle of the tier. It means the middle of the nominations. Like, the top two guys in that tier might be the middle guys nominated, and you might get the value there. And that's kind of where playing that auction you and tracking – how much everybody's going for all the time. So on my spreadsheet, though, I'm hand bomb it, but I've got what I think the auction values are going to be, and then I got the actuals besides. So now you can start tracking it and seeing it. When I was doing this draft with Bosch on the salary cap, I've got a spreadsheet, and then it calculates the difference automatically for me. So I can start to see where the sweet spots are, and I even color-coded them, Blister. So then it, as the sweet spots get better, they go darker green. Real fancy stuff here. But that's how the auction you works, right, Blister?
Yeah, I know it's really important, and you see it every year at each position when those first guys are nominated out of that particular tier. I mean, everybody's tiers could be slightly different, but, you know, for the most part, they're going to be pretty close to the same, the guys that they see as their RB1. And when those first guys come off the board, they're going to get bid up pretty hard because somebody wants that RB1. Then it's going to quiet down a bit in the middle, but when there's only one or two left in that tier, they'll probably go for they'll probably be the most expensive in that group because people see it as their last opportunity, for example, to get an RB1 or a wide receiver one. So, and they want that top guy on their squad, so they tend to pay up a little bit more. So it's really, again, it comes down to where you sit at the table as well, right? You might have all great intentions to nominate your guy when it's in the middle, but all of a sudden you know, if you're sitting late or early, you know, and you nominate, like you could be the start or the back end of the U, which is both bad if you're in the middle of the U. And again, you don't know exactly because there's 12 guys at the table, typically. You know, it doesn't mean 12 guys are going to nominate running backs in the first round or the second or whatever. Mm-hmm. It could be, you never know. That's what the fun thing is. You never know who's going to come up. So you have to be ready for any particular strategy. If you know, okay, I'm the seventh guy. There's one running back, quarterback, a tight end, three receivers, you know, and a kicker off the board already. Well, now what should I do? Like if I nominate another running back, it's going to be the second guy in a tier. He's going to go for way more than I want, but maybe that's what you're trying to do. You want money spent, so you throw them out there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, maybe if there's three receivers gone, maybe you can get the bottom end of the U for a fourth receiver, where guys are going to be saying, no, you know what? There's a few receivers left, but there's are going to save some money for these running backs. Look at all these running backs that are left. So mm-hmm. then you, maybe that's where you hop on a wide receiver one right there, and you might get them for $5 less than normal. And that's a good player down the road. You can add that too.
Well, in this current draft blister, I did that both at the running back position and at the wide receiver. So my tier two receivers, now it's the salary cap, dynasty, et cetera, but the example is still the same. I was looking to maybe get some guys in this tier. And of course, I'd earmarked, you know, the Amari Coopers and DJ Moores and Lockett's and some of those guys. But what ended up happening is Kenny Golladay comes in the middle. I sneak him in the middle of this tier. So, well, someone else nominated him and I upbid, and then you're waiting the 12 hours, so your fingers crossed, right? But guys around Kenny Golladay go for 27, 24, so like Cooper went for 24, or 27, Godwin went for 24, Adam Thielen for 24, so that was kind of in that price point, and I end up getting Kenny Golladay for 18. So, and I kind of put them all in that same tier. So I'm like, nice. $18, nice price.
Yeah.
So then I slide over at running back, same type of thing. So I was trying to find Miles Sanders, right? And I was willing to spend a little bit more than what you might typically. But in that tier, you've got, for me anyways, you know, Derrick Henry came in at 24 and Marlon Mack at 22 and Kerryon Johnson went all the way up to 36. And I sneak Miles Sanders in at 16. Oh,
well, that's pretty good.
Yeah. So that's why I say.
A while to become the official number one.
But, well, exactly. But I mean, I do have Christian McCaffrey ahead of him, right? And then I did pick up some $1 guys that are going to be able to play me until all of a sudden he's the bell cow. So at least this year, right? But it's also Dynasty too.
Yeah,
so.
Good. Yeah. Oh yeah, well really? Oh,
yeah,
Dynasty, then that's pretty good.
Well, it's salary cap. It's not. It's
time before he takes over.
Yeah, it's salary cap. So these guys, you're keeping them for 3-4 years, right? Is kind of how it goes. Which for me is Dynasty because you're playing in a two, three, four year window. So.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah,
well, that's cool.
So anyway, so those are a couple of examples of like right now in a draft that I'm in, how the auction you. Strategy worked, right? And so that's how you have to work it, and that's where those middle rounds. Now, Blister, in those middle rounds, how active are you in the middle rounds? What are some of your strategies? I mean, like we say, guys are getting up, getting a beer, taking a leak, grabbing some food. You're not doing that in the middle rounds. I am.
No, I never go. I don't pee the whole draft. I wait.
He wears a diaper. He wears a diaper.
That's right. You gotta be serious. Adult diaper. It's not a big deal. I think in the middle rounds is where I probably do end up making a majority of my team in those middle rounds, loading up on guys. And I feel like often I'm sitting there through those early rounds. I don't have anybody yet. And then all of a sudden, boom, I start loading up. But one of the things I've always made a note of myself over the years of drafting is like just to, I always try to get a wide receiver and running back. I always felt better or had better results if I got one true RB1 or one true wide receiver one coming out of the auction. Instead of thinking like, for example, with receivers right now, I think Godwin, Ridley, Golladay, Mike Williams, you know, that whole group of guys in there could be great, right? But I just feel like you need one Davante Adams or something, then those two guys, and then, you know, your back end guys are going to be a lot more of a long shot, a weaker, like, cheaper guys too, right?
Right.
I just felt over the years that you were much stronger when you had that one big gun and then a couple nice compliments. Like that, it's kind of like a not quite a Stars and Scrubs mentality, but it's not just an average or even averaging out your budget and trying to get a bunch of starters that are all about 15 to 25 bucks or whatever, and then, you know, your bench is whatever.
Right.
I just felt better about the team in that situation. But, like, those guys could potentially be wide receivers.
B1s, yeah.
With some of the guys that are up there.
But yeah, they could be threes, too,
anyway,
right?
So they could be more often than not sometimes. So it's nice to have that one guy to build around. It just means that your back end is going to be, like, not as I guess there's not as much talent, but that's, we've always said that don't spend money on your bench if you can help it, right? Like don't save money and have a really deep bench, because if all things go well, you're really not even using that bench for unless somebody gets hurt.
You're cutting two or three in week one.
Probably won't happen. You probably will. Yeah. Often. I mean, I look at my roster from last year. Like, how the hell did I win that league? Well, I obviously played the waiver wire well, and that's always been the key. And so you have to have some studs. I mean, there's not a bye week till what, about week five maybe? And
something
so
like that, yeah.
If you're going with just mediocrity for 4 weeks, you could put yourself in an 0-4 position. So you want to have a bit of a stud that can carry you and then have some nice complementary pieces to back him up. But I'm always kind of thinking along that line. Again, it comes down to a price point, though. Would I spend 65 or 70 bucks on the running back 6 or 7 or 8 just because I think he's going to be an RB1? But no way I'm going to spend that on him when maybe Saquon, Zeke, or C-Mac, or Kamara are gone. Like, these other guys just don't. That's just not a good value, so I wouldn't spend it. So if that's how it works out, that's how it works out. But if that's the case, then if I'm getting other guys to spend that kind of money on David Johnson or Le'Veon Bell or James Conner, then that means they're going to run out of money. That's all the team. So I feel pretty good about that, too.
Well, and you're starting to talk about some of those late-round strategies now in this, which is good. And I think the other thing here is knowing your rules, eh, Blister? Like, if your league rules are that you got to fill every spot, or you have to fill, you know, all 20 roster spots or whatever, then you got to do it. But if it doesn't, then, like, maybe you don't, if you're still playing with kickers or defenses, like, maybe you don't draft one of those and you spend that extra dollar or two somewhere else and you pick one of them up on the waiver wire. You get them for free. And use that dollar, you know, someone puts, you know, for a dollar for so-and-so. Now you have an extra dollar to say two. And now that guy's tapped out. He can't do it, especially late in the draft. Or in this particular league that I'm in right now, you don't have to fill all the roster spots. You could literally just draft the starting lineup and waiver wire your whole bench.
Oh, yeah.
So I right now don't have enough money to fill all my roster. Like I'm going to have, I think, two slots open. Like I won't have even a dollar guy there, which is I'm okay with because really it's slough out there anyways. So I might as well just pick the slough off the waiver wire.
Exactly. Yeah. If you better know your rules before you go into your auction. Exactly. And then that's a good point. Like we're in a couple drafts where you don't have to draft your kicker and your defense. So you're allowed. I mean, they're season long teams. So we've been able to pick up extra, you know, dart throws, you could say, at some positions. And then if they don't work out well, then you just drop that guy when you need to have that kicker or defense when you start the season. But yeah, really kickers and defenses, they're not somebody that you should be focusing on or targeting. If you want to grab one, it's, say, the 14th round of your 18-round draft. I mean, it really doesn't matter at that point because most people's majority of their budgets are spent. So if you think you can get your kicker or defense that you kind of want for a dollar, or, you know, the other nomination strategy in that point, if you're sitting on a decent amount of cash, you know, you got, say, 6 or 7 bench spots, you got $20 left, throw your defense out there or kicker and start them at $2. That way, most guys don't have the money or aren't willing to go to $3. But if you throw them out there at $2, you're going to get the guy you want. $1 at that point in the draft, if you're down to like $20 with 6 or 7 bench spots, isn't going to make a big difference in the player you get later on. But if it means you got the defense that you want to start every week, then that's good. And another thing, too,
good point.
Knowing your rules, like you should never draft a second kicker or a second defense or a second quarterback. Or if you're getting a top, you know, 6 or 8 tight end, and you only have 6 bench spots, maybe even 7, don't even draft a second tight end. I mean, they're in a single quarterback league, all those positions are going to have plenty of them on the waiver wire. Grab running backs and wide receivers, and then come bye week, you're going to have to figure out, you know, who to grab and who to drop. Oh, another strategy when it comes to that. If you say your bye week, your tight end's on a bye week 7, you don't have anybody on the bench. Don't wait till week 7 to grab.
Right, yeah.
Start looking in week 6. Grab them a week early if you can, just because look at the week 7 schedule. Grab them a week early when people aren't looking. Oh, look at, he needs a tight end. I need a tight end that week too. I better. They're all going to go after the top ranked tight end after 6 weeks and spend the most on them. Go get them a week early and then, you know, spend, you know, you probably get them for way less of your waiver wire budget.
Yeah.
If you do something like that. Same with quarterback, same with any position. So you don't need to grab, you know, if you, that's one thing about spending more on, say a quarterback or a tight end. We don't recommend that. But if you do, then you know that you don't have to waste any bench spots. So say my starting quarterback was Kirk Cousins. That's probably not ideal versus mm-hmm. if my starting quarterback was, I don't know, Rodgers or Luck or, you know, Mahomes is going to be too expensive. It could be Watson. And so maybe those guys cost you 10 or 12 bucks. And that's, for me, that's pretty pricey. But you know darn well you're not going to have to spend anything on a backup. But even if you drafted Big Ben, for example, and you spent $6 on him, are you really going to draft somebody worse than that or less
right.
and then start him over Big Ben? Like, it doesn't make sense anyway. So at least, and that's one of the things about tight end, Kelce, Ertz, Kittle, they're probably going to be pretty pricey in your draft. I'm thinking in the $25 to $35 range, probably Kelce $35 to $40. And every year there's somebody like that, right? Whether it's Gronk and Graham, there's always been people. And the thing is, if you draft one of those guys, don't waste any money. But you see it happen. Guys will draft that tight end, then they'll draft another tight end later.
Yeah, they'll get no Jay Howard next to sit on their bench. They're not flexing.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And that's, you know, so I would, and again, this is about O.J. Howard. The more I think about it, Bruce Arians never used that tight end, so I might have to move him down. I think Godwin and Evans will just be fed, but I don't think Howard is going to do a ton. Anyways, but yeah, don't do that kind of stuff. I don't know why some people do that. They go out and they grab, and I don't know. Some people think that they get the whole tight end market cornered. Everybody else is going to suffer, but nobody else suffers. Like, not 11 other teams are going to suffer because
right.
you have 5 tight ends on your team, and they have their starting tight end is Trey Burton. That doesn't hurt them.
Well, it doesn't matter if you have 3 or 4 extra tight ends, let's say, or quarterbacks on your bench. That doesn't change the scoring in the week because those guys are not scoring for anybody, right? So now it just changes right, who the QB right. 8, 9, 10, 11 are. Just because those guys are on your bench doesn't take points away from anyone else. It just, no one's scoring those points. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'd rather have, like, let's say Dexter Williams sitting on my bench for a buck that I could drop, you know, week 4 or something when I realize that he's not going to overtake Jamal Williams or Aaron Jones, I'd say. But I'd like to have him for a buck in case they decide, like Aaron Jones, a 5th-round draft pick with new coaching staff and me, whatever. They go, he's expendable. Let's bring this rookie in here that we like. You know, and now you did hit,
exactly.
got that for a buck rather than spending, you know, an extra $3 on. Unfortunately, Blister and I had some technical difficulties at the back end of the podcast. We lost about 10 or 15 minutes of good content at the end. Sorry about that. Be sure to head on over to the website, thefantasyfootballauction.com, for all of your auction needs. Send your mock draft and real auction draft information into auctionmockdraft@gmail.com to enter in for a free entry for a free membership for this summer. Make sure you follow us on Twitter @fantasyauction. That's the end of the podcast this time around. Sorry it got cut off. Have a great day out there, everybody, and I'll see you when it's springtime in the Rockies.
When it's springtime in the Rockies, I'll become